Hello, I'm Rebecca Robinson, your host for the More to Life podcast in West Kelowna. Stories of people's lives have always fascinated me, and I believe they're one of the best gifts we can give. Our testimonies on how God delivers us through challenges or dark places inevitably gives hope and can help others see a light at the end of their tunnel. Join me as I interview varied guests who bravely tell their stories for us to be encouraged by. Hi everyone, we're back with the More to Life podcast, and this is our April episode, and we're just coming to you on a gorgeous day outside. It's a little bit too sunny to be inside, but I'm so excited to be here to interview Shelley Thody. She is an author, and she's here to talk about some mental health struggles and how Jesus has delivered her from a lifetime of struggles that she has learned to live with. And she's been at Emmanuel for 3 years, and I'm just looking forward to hearing your story. So welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. It's so nice to be here.
Awesome. I'll start off like I usually do with new episodes of if you could tell us a little bit about your childhood and maybe paint a picture of what that was like for you.
Okay. Well, I grew up in St. Albert, Alberta, and I had many friends and a really good family. I was always driven to do my best through my life, and when it came to school or sports or friendships, anything like that. My mom took us to church back then. My dad didn't come along, but I definitely knew about Jesus when I was young, and I'm very thankful that she prioritized this. When I was 17, my dad was transferred to Calgary for work. I had never moved before, and I was heading into grade 12. I naively thought that it would be really neat to move.
What gave you that idea?
Yeah, especially at that age. Right around this time, I was sexually molested. Hmm. I had headed into a really bad situation and felt really traumatized, but also guilty. My self-talk changed a great deal around this time in my life, and it became very self-defeating. I entered grade 12 in a huge school, knowing only my sister, and I started dating a guy who was really not a good influence for me at all. Hmm.
What kind of self-talk would you say was happening? Like, can you describe that a bit more?
Well, I knew of the morals of the church, and I knew what God expected of us, and I knew that I didn't feel like I had a very good standard anymore. And I think it just sort of, my esteem was really affected poorly, for sure.
Would you say that it was more like a head belief in Jesus and in the church? On just being raised in it versus a heart belief, where, like, were you given kind of, did you talk to your mom about it, or did you seek any help?
No, I didn't talk to anybody about it.
That you noticed.
Yeah, I was trying to deal with it all on my own, which, you know, in retrospect, I realized was not a good thing. Like, I definitely needed some help around that time.
Yeah. And internalizing everything, right? Trying to deal with it yourself.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Is that kind of a characteristic in your family, the way you were raised, was to kind of just cope, or...
Some of us, yeah, mm-hmm. Some of us for sure. But I also feel like at that time there was just so much change we were all going through that I think I probably just thought it was about the change as well. Like, not really even realizing a lot of it was about the abuse and sort of that negative self-talk that was coming along with that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it was so, well, that would be, I hear from abuse survivors that it's one of the hardest things to even talk about. With family, like most of them live in secret and don't want to share it. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly hard at that age.
Yes, it was very hard. Yeah, it was very hard. And also because, like I was saying, feeling like I had put myself in a poor situation, never asking for that to happen, but I did put myself in a poor situation. So there was a lot of negative self-talk around that too, that I could have made a lot better decisions.
Yeah,
for sure.
No, I hear that. When we make mistakes as teenagers, we think, well, looking back, I kind of put myself there. That wasn't very smart. But then you start saying, oh, you're stupid and you're not.
Yes.
Yeah. You gotta,
why did I do this?
What did I do? Why did I do this to myself? Mm-hmm. And then you take on too much responsibility, I think, rather than realizing that you're still the victim.
Yes.
In the situation that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. And so soon after that, I completed school and I became a pharmacy technician. Mm-hmm. I was 19, and I, as stated before, I had been experiencing some mild depression at that point in my life. And I moved back to St. Albert to become a pharmacy technician, and a part of me was really excited about the change and moving back to where my old friends were and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was feeling quite a bit better. But after a few months, this changed quite a bit, and I was feeling very blue, like even worse than the first time. I was feeling down. This pattern of highs and lows continued, and it was very scary. My mom didn't understand it at all because I was never that kind of a person. I was always upbeat and happy and giving and like...
And that wasn't a mask. That was just who you were.
That's who I was.
Yeah.
And so she didn't understand this, and she kind of thought maybe hormonal. So we did lots of checks about things like that, but it ended up not being hormonal at all. I was not healthy. I finally soon was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and I was put on medications, lithium, to help me. And thankfully, it really did help. I was feeling somewhat normal and balanced when the psychiatrist at that time said to me, "You're doing really well. You don't need your meds anymore."
Wow. Even though the lithium kind of balanced you out, they thought it's time
to take... And I still think about that. And I honestly can't even believe, even at way back then, because that would have been way back like 85 or so, or 86, that he would have said that to me. Because all the research I've done is once you're on something like that, you stay on.
Yeah, yeah.
But he... saw me really healthy, and maybe he felt I was misdiagnosed, possibly. But
so, what would you describe the difference was from a before lithium and during while you were taking it? Like,
well, it's so weird when you take something like lithium, you don't immediately feel anything different. Like when I take my medications, you don't. Mm-hmm. But over time, it stays in your system, and this type of salt, it stays in your system, and it ends up allowing you to find balance. And the way it works actually is that when you're on a high or a low, when you're going towards a high, it only allows a certain amount, like a normal amount of high, and then you'd go back.
Oh, I see.
It doesn't allow you to go really manic high. That's how this one works. So I don't notice much while I'm taking it, but I did notice a few times in my life when I wasn't taking it.
And can you kind of give us a your own definition of what bipolar disorder is and what it's like?
Yeah, yes, it's a chemical imbalance in the brain. And so it is one that most people, and there's different types, some people are ultra rapid cycling, I believe it's called, and really you can turn up and down and feel up and down really quickly throughout the day. Whereas mine was more of the version of, there's like a ones and the twos and stuff, I don't remember all that stuff, but mine was the version of over 2 or 3 months, I'd slowly go down, or 2 or 3 months later, then I'd be getting higher. And then, of course, if it's not medicated, that will continue, and it will go lower and then higher and lower and then higher. So that's the big concern, of course. So
is a high like just ultimate elation, or like how, what does that look like? I don't quite know either.
So the highs for me were... the little highs were more like just feeling happy and good and bubbly and talkative.
Okay.
But when I'd get more and more, it would be all of those things in a very annoying way.
Like and you then, couldn't control it.
And, yes. Yeah. And I didn't need sleep, and I felt on top of the world. And there was a time in my life where I felt like I was like God.
Wow.
Which is
interesting,
crazy,
though. But it's a good description to give us that don't know, because I mean, I've never really encountered what that is like.
Yeah, a lot of people haven't. And
and
a lot of people who have experienced it, they kind of like the highs because they feel pretty exciting and fun, but not me. I would never want to go on another one, because I know what's around the other,
what's coming,
what's on the bend, around the bend. And it's really terrifying how...
And so the other end is just, you want to sleep, you want to stay in bed, and you're depressed and crying, or how?
Crying, lots, a lot of emotion, feeling down, a lot of negative self-talk, just not functioning. And a lot of times I could do things barely, but not to the way I should, or with the kind of joy of life or anything. It's just kind of getting by. And other times, it was staying in bed and not wanting to get out. And the extreme ones were, really, really down and awful. Feeling very hopeless, that you don't feel like you can really get through this.
Right. So when you were kind of in that teenage relationship, was this happening, and you were kind of looking for, I don't know, something out there, do you think, to balance you, or?
Yeah, I was confused too. I didn't really know what was happening to my body or to my mind. And I did want to get better. Like I hadn't felt normal for a really long time. So when this medication helped me, it was pretty exciting. And to be honest, when he said, you don't need it anymore, I was also very excited. Oh, I must be better.
Yeah, you're cured. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was really excited, but it wasn't okay. It led to a disaster. It ended up being that I went on an extreme crazy high, and I ended up in the hospital in Calgary for a week or two.
Wow.
And I remember when I was in the hospital that time, I was busy helping other people and all bubbly and having people come to the table and just do like.
And so did you go in there and say, I have bipolar disorder and I came off?
No, they just knew. I think I went in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they just knew. Oh, and then they put me back on medication, that kind of thing. And
yeah,
so it was.
How did that make you feel, though, knowing that you had to go back on and like. I guess you didn't want to be in the hospital. You didn't want these crazy highs. You recognized it was back again.
Yeah. So being on something that could help me, I think it was feeling pretty good.
That's okay.
Again, realizing, okay, maybe there is some help and maybe I can get through this and feel normal, whatever normal might be.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So went to home to my parents' place and they were so good to me and I was feeling more balanced. But unfortunately for that extreme high, even though I was helped, whatever goes up has to come down in this sort of up and down world of bipolar. And I really, really crashed. And I entered my deepest and darkest depression that I had up until that point. And I wasn't functioning well. I left my job in St. Albert, obviously, and a lot of negative self-talk, a lot of feeling deep down that there's no way I'm going to get out of this. Mm. And it's strange because I had been out of it a few times,
right.
You know, but it's what your brain tells you. I'm in a really, really down. So I really felt there was no hope. And I was such a burden to people around me, a burden to my family. And so that's when I was led to try to commit suicide back in that.
Wow.
1987.
How old were you then?
I was 21.
Oh, gosh. Were you living at your parents' place still?
Yes, I was living at my parents' place, and I had just lost my grandma a couple months before that. And I remember feeling like, why did she go? Like, there's no way she should have gone. She was an upright, good, lovely, faithful lady. It should have been me, you know? Like, I remember those kinds of thinking,
Yeah.
So it was terrible, and I ended up, of course, in the hospital for a while. And
so somebody stopped you in time, or just?
Yeah, well, just barely. That's another story on its own, too. That's another miracle, because I had taken a bunch of medications, and the type I took is terrible on the brain. The paramedics came in. We don't know how they got in the door. My dad and my sister were there, and they kept trying to understand why the paramedics hadn't left yet. Like, why were they taking so long in our home? And apparently they had to resuscitate me 3 times.
Oh my goodness.
It was just very,
that's awful.
Very, very scary. And I know God was in it.
Yeah.
He wasn't ready for me yet.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Traumatic for the family and for yourself to come through that afterwards too.
Yeah, it was very traumatic for
our
family.
And was this when you were back on lithium again, but you knew that you needed the balance?
Yeah, I had been back on lithium at that point, but I had already gone up so high.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That it really is a chemical. It's like I feel like the water balance.
So it doesn't let the highs go, but I had already been up there, right? Yeah. So I was on a few medications, actually, some antidepressants and stuff. And later on, I found that the one I was on, one of the side effects is one of the worst for teens and suicide. Two, like, you know,
the worst possible one you could have been prescribed, or teens anyway.
Yes, for sure.
That's very rough. And so what was maybe a turning point for you after this? Then there must have been one, because you came through that depression and then the balance came back.
Yeah, I stayed on my medication, and I knew I needed it, and I wanted to find, you know, some more balance and that type of thing. And thank goodness, thank goodness I was able to get healthy. Yeah, get healthier.
And did you go back to work as a pharmacy?
Yeah, not right away. I think I started volunteering at first at a hospital.
Oh, okay.
And then I would estimate 3 months later, so I went back as a pharmacy technician and did really well and loved it, which led to me realizing, because I brought a little grade two class in to teach them about drugs versus pill versus candy.
Oh.
And it led me to realizing I wanted to become a teacher.
Wow, just like that.
Yeah.
Career number two.
Yeah. 25 years old, went back to school.
Okay.
To become a teacher. And yeah, it was awesome, very awesome.
And where was God at this point in your life?
Well, he was distant in my heart, but he was right there. Does
He's
that make
been
sense?
There? Oh, totally.
He'd always been there. He'd always been there. He's so good. And he now when I look back on the amount of love and grace, we say amazing grace, and it's so true, but there's such an abundance of grace we get from God. It's just so incredible. And I didn't have a close relationship with him for quite a few years later. But interestingly enough, my auntie gave me a Bible in 1987 at Christmas. But I honestly can tell you I probably didn't open it up for 13 years. It was a while before I had to become a teacher. Well, this is what I'm thinking now, of course, at the time. Had to become a teacher, had to grow and learn, move to that little community of Lac La Biche, found a great church family and support and things like that, and gave my heart to Jesus later on. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you kind of always believed, and you kind of always felt like God is looking out for you because you're still around in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a time I don't think I was very close to him at all, but I think that was more because of my fear and what I'd done and my life. Right. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
I was shame about it and trying to deal with that as well. For sure, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you met your husband before you became a teacher, or during or after?
I met my husband in Calgary.
Okay.
Just as I was becoming a teacher,
Oh, okay.
His sister was in the same course as me, and I met him through her,
I see. And was he a Christian at the time as well, or?
No.
Okay. And now you're both here.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, there's another story.
Yeah.
So can you tell me then, once you started, you know, you're in your career, and you said 13 years had to pass before you opened the Bible, and you found a good church, and at that point you were married, what kind of led you to go back to church, and what kind of led you to Jesus then?
That's a really good question. I ended up, we had our first baby, Jamie Lynn Marie, and I remember feeling like I want her to know what's good. I want to bring up our children in goodness, in a good home. And so then I got thinking about church, and then seeking out which one would be best fit for us and that type of thing. And my husband, like when I explained that to him, he came from a really rough background too in lots of ways. And he agreed. He didn't really quite understand what I was talking about because I had a bit of background and he didn't.
Right,
but
okay.
Yeah, so we found this wonderful church and the people that were just so gracious and kind and good, and we just wanted to be more like them. You know, they were just set a very good example. What we do as Christians makes a huge difference. We may not think, but it's not just about our words, it's about our actions and the way we behave. It's huge.
Yeah. And that light, I think, that comes from a Christian can just be attractive to those that don't.
Yes.
Don't know God yet, right? We don't know that we kind of have this.
Yeah. They will tell
it
we are Christian
like
by their love, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And
by their
so
light
it's
and
powerful.
Their love. So that really drew you in. And then a year later, you mentioned that you remember becoming more like, made that decision to follow Jesus. So what led to that at that point? Just kind of, was the natural progression, or was there a light bulb moment, or?
It was an inside light bulb moment at the church, and I feel like it's sort of probably something the pastor was saying. I can't remember exactly, but I do know the feeling of this is where I belong. This makes sense.
It became logical. It became head and heart at the same time.
Yes, at the same time.
Yeah, I hear that. That's great. And what about your husband? What was his path, if you can share?
I don't know exactly. You'd have to ask him for that part, but he's been so supportive about the church and about us going and our family and getting closer to God and that type of thing.
And so what changed for you then after you received Christ? What do you think?
Well, there were lots of things that changed, but mainly I ended up reading the Bible a lot more.
Okay.
And becoming closer to God in many ways through song, through the Bible, through going to, like, attending church regularly. And just, I mean, being a giving and kind person, I feel like I had that in me to begin with, but I think there's more of an abundance of that now. I wouldn't say it becomes easier, because I think I was made that way.
Yeah.
But
the fruit of the Spirit kind of develops and grows in you as you know more about Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did it help you kind of look back on your past and resolve things that you'd been struggling with, perhaps? Or I know that happened to me. I'm just asking for your own personal.
Oh, for sure. Like, God's amazing forgiveness and grace. And then how incredible the things I'd been through and things I'd done. Well, He loves me anyway. And how I can pay that forward to other people now.
Yeah. No, that's wonderful. What about a Bible verse that has impacted you? I know you've shared a couple with me from Romans and from Philippians. Mm-hmm. Was there one particular that you could share that had an impact on your journey?
Yeah, for sure. The one that I think about my earlier life as being a Christian and teaching and family and all the craziness of that was Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with peace and joy as you trust in Him, so that your hope will continue to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there are so many times I prayed that, and there's a bunch of other things that happened with this mural outside of my classroom when I was teaching. And actually, I had said that scripture so many times. And one day I looked at that mural, and that mural showed that exact scripture.
Wow.
Like, I couldn't even believe it. But yeah, it's just been one that keeps coming back to me, and I really we need that hope.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah. Were you teaching at a Christian school then, or was it a public school?
No.
But you just saw it on that mural.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, just from the picture. And, because it was this picture that a young girl, an indigenous young girl, had painted.
Okay.
And it was like a rainbow with a dove.
Okay.
And a little boy swinging off the cloud, like he's having fun. So the joy part, so all of it was there. And
I see.
Like, oh my gosh, that's what I say all the time. But I did talk quite a bit about God and in my school.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the need in yourself for peace, right? That's an attraction with you having this chemical imbalance, just to have balance, just to have peace. I can see how that's a verse that really draws you in.
For sure.
With the fact that you're an author, what started that pursuit?
Actually, it was way back in 2010.
Okay.
I was going to see my parents in Arizona, and I was going up in the airplane, and I heard a very distinct but calm voice saying, write an outline. And I ignored the voice, and then I heard it again, write an outline. And I had talked about writing a book. Well, actually, a friend of mine told me you should write a book about your journey. Years before, let's say 5 years before that, and I kept it in the back burner, but I had three kids at home, busy full-time teaching and all this stuff, so it just wasn't anything I'd really thought about. But I grabbed a paper from the receipt in the hotel the night before and wrote down an outline for my first book, and it never changed. The outline stayed the same.
Oh, wow.
And that was my guide, and then I say in that book, well, I wasn't sure how I was going to find time to write this book, but God would help me, and He most certainly did. He helped me find the time. So.
And so what was that book? What was that about?
So that one is called Melancholy, Mania, and Miracles, My Journey with Bipolar Disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on what we were just talking about, but more of the details and the things that I had gone through and things that I'd put others through as well. But ultimately, like, the last couple of chapters are Rainbow of Recovery and My Colorful Life.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that the recovery came from God, of course. But He's given me a very colorful and beautiful life that I'm so grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you wrote another one, like, in short order after that, or?
So the next one would have been, so that one was finished in 2012. My next one was 2021.
Okay.
Like, right around COVID time, Miracles Unfolding. And My third one that just came out is Miracles Unfolding, Stories of Faith, Hope, and Divine Intervention. Hmm. And the reason I'm kind of skipping to the third one is it's kind of like the second one is incorporated into the third one with many more stories added.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's incredible. Our God is so incredible. And sometimes we don't see it or recognize it. And he's given me a lot to write about. And I feel very blessed to be able to share.
Can you share instances of miracles? Because that's in the title. I'm just assuming that they're in the story.
For sure. I'll tell you about the first one that happened, and that was actually my first book had been written and was out for publishing and just get publishing and printing. So it was basically done.
Okay.
And I was very candid about what I'd gone through with this bipolar disorder. And I knew it was going to be out there. But what happened was Satan got in, and he got in my mind and said, what about your children? What about your husband? What about your job? Like, and these thoughts were coming in.
As in them people knowing
that you knowing what I'd been through, like, because a lot of people didn't know.
I see, yeah.
So all this started happening, and at the time I didn't recognize it that way. I was a newer Christian then, and I just got down, and I got into a depression, and I hadn't been for so many years. Mm. So that was really tough. But a couple weeks into this depression, and then I'll talk a bit about my husband, he'd had scoliosis for his big part of his life, and starting when he was a teenager, and he was always working physical jobs, so it was really painful, and sometimes knife-jabbing pain. And so he'd been dealing with that for quite a few years, and so we went to bed, me depressed, him, we fell asleep, and he woke up with this stabbing scoliosis pain.
No.
So what happened was he turned over and he put his arm around me and prayed for me. Hmm. And while he was praying for me, he felt this heat, this dissipation of his pain, and it went away completely. And it's been 14 years and it's never come back.
What? Wow. That's incredible.
Isn't that incredible?
And I love that because in his pain, he chose to turn and pray for you.
Yes.
And he was healed.
Gives me shivers just you saying it.
That's
incredible. It is. Isn't it incredible? And then I would bug him sometimes and say, see, you should have prayed for me long before.
Oh, that's so neat the way God works in somebody else who's looking to give prayer for someone else of healing.
Because he saw a different kind of pain I was going through. And
yeah.
And very soon after that, so a day later, he saw a smile on my face. So that's when he told me about this. He didn't tell me right away.
Oh, really?
So my depression got better.
And yours
lifted. His back got better. Yeah. My book came out. It was amazing. People accepted it so well. And all those thoughts in my mind, they were all just silly thoughts. None of those bad things happened. Everything was really, really good and positive about it.
Passing threat that you had to say no to. Deny Satan his tactics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it sure is.
That's amazing. I find it, I've said before that a spiritual battle is very hard, and it's very, it's so subtle to recognize it, but he knows exactly how to go after us.
Yes, he
in
does.
In the words that he says, and that it's a constant awareness that we need and a fight that we need to be prepared to pray against.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's just like, don't let up, you know, because...
Yeah, you can't.
These can come from all sides at any time.
Yeah. And it's very true. And so now this third book and all these wonderful things to share, and I've had a battle, like not the same kind, because he knows to attack in a different way now because I get that one. And I'm not going to be different.
Yeah.
So there's these other things that have been happening, like just so many little things that have gone wrong. Like it's just been one thing after another. And my dad's very sick the printing stuff, some of the stuff has gone wrong, and just
these sidetracking things.
Right? Listen to this one. I'm getting a website for my first time, and the guy's organizing it. I know one of the guys personally. So they took pictures of my books. The one book was this, like my newest book. Uh-huh. It didn't have the subtitle on it in the picture when he was putting it on my website. And I said, this seems weird, but there's no subtitle. Yeah, that is kind of strange, he says. So he redid it, but how does that even happen?
So it was the picture cover of your book.
Yeah, and it had Miracles Unfolding, but it didn't have Stories of Faith and Healing and all that.
Just faded from the picture.
Yeah, it was just not there. Right? Like, those are the kinds of things, but about 100 of them in the last little while before. Mm. And yeah, so it's been a challenge, but that I'm not giving up. I know that this needs to get out there, and there's a lot of great and wonderful, amazing stories.
This third book of yours, who would you say is the best target audience for it?
I would say around the age of 13 or so and up, all the way up to 95, really.
Okay.
It's quite broad because I feel like many, many Christians would get so much from this, just reinforcing their faith and understanding how our God is still parting waters. And they know in their own life, but to hear other people going through things like that, that are just so incredible. And then also non-believers, because it's got a lot in it, even explaining how I came to faith and how I stay faithful and just different things in my life that, and how we need our Lord. Like we need him here on earth.
You just said exactly why I do this podcast.
Yes.
It's for 13 and up, for Christians and non-Christians to hear the exact same thing, to have reassurance and to hear that other people are going through trials and difficulties and still, you know, exercising their faith, really, and working through it daily. And then for the non-Christians to say, oh, you know, people can come from this that I'm in the depths of right now to that.
There's hope.
And there's hope.
And the hope in heaven is even more beautiful to think about in this kind of difficult and dark world we're in right now. Yeah. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. So what brought you to Emmanuel?
Well, we were on a holiday earlier in 2023, and we wanted to come to church. We were planning on moving here later on in that year. Mm-hmm. And I looked up a few online. And I saw Emmanuel, and my pastor in Lac La Biche, his name was Emmanuel. Oh. And we thought, well, let's look it up. It sounded like it was a good fit for us. Yeah. And we came up the hill, and there was the cross. And yeah, and we never went back. We really loved it.
When I asked that question, almost everybody says, we came up the hill, and there was that cross. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go check that out. What's that church about?
Yeah.
We have such a good position here for that highway location.
Yeah, the church on the hill. Yeah.
Yeah. And then who would you say now, after all these years, is Jesus to you?
Well, he's everything to me. He is my hope. He is my salvation. Mm-hmm. He's my best friend. Mm-hmm. He's everything good in me. And, of course, I have some things that aren't always wonderful. We're still human. We're still working through some things. But he is everything good in me.
Mm-hmm. And from that, what would you, for anyone listening today that may be dealing with mental health struggles, what kind of encouragement would you give them?
Well, I would love to just have them understand that there's always hope, and people will say that, but you don't need a whole bunch of hope for it to grow. Hmm. And in that light, just to know I can get through this day, I can get through that situation, I can get the help with this, and to know that for me, my greatest hope in my mental health battle has been our Lord, for sure. Mm. And his word, it's just the battleground. Like, it's just the sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. And knowing his word and memorizing his word and listening to songs. And it's just incredible what our God can do. And I do still take lithium, and I'm happy to have it. Very thankful. Mm-hmm. But I can honestly say, if I didn't have God, I still wouldn't be healthy.
Yeah, because you've known the years of that before God, and then now the years of it after.
Yes.
Yeah, and you've got that comparison to consistently make to encourage you, but also your evidence of the success story, right?
Yes.
And also to be aware, Christian or not, like you mentioned, the negative self-talk, just to be so aware of that and to kind of a heightened awareness is really all I'm saying. You know how we say education about a topic is power, but knowing that, that's going to happen on a regular basis, and to pray for how to fight that and to pray to how to recognize that, I think is important to remind listeners as well.
Very important, yes.
And I like that, you know, probably, I don't know, in your life, have you ever felt, okay, I'm a Christian now, I should be healed from my mental illness? Like, has that crossed your mind?
Mm-hmm. It has. It has crossed my mind.
That it hasn't yet.
And I feel like, in some ways, I am. Mm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like having a broken arm. Am I healed? Yeah, but I have to wear this cast for a little while. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm healed, And I get to take lithium every day to help me stay healed. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but I also think, you know, like with Paul and the thorn in our flesh, we all have things to deal with, and we have different things in life that help us to become a better version of us, maybe more empathetic, maybe more understanding. And so I don't go through very many highs or lows anymore. So that's what I mean by feeling like I'm healed, because I'm doing the things I can do. And in my first book, I describe a lot about that, about how to stay healthy, what's like a balanced lifestyle look like with God in it. Mm-hmm. And so I really try to do the things I can do. And, you know, definitely have moments of feeling down or times where even portion of a day, but I don't go into depressions.
Right.
So I'm very grateful for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything I haven't asked that you want to add, either about your books or about?
I think you've written most. The only thing is, if anybody's interested in finding my first book, Melancholy, Mania, and Miracles, it's on Amazon.
Okay, yeah.
And my second one, this has been one of the struggles. It should be on Amazon.ca, but there's been a lot of little wrinkles. Mm. So right now, I think the latest has been the pricing is pretty good. And then they're charging $30 for shipping. So, we're working through some stuff here.
That's
and
a glitch,
I'm
yeah.
hoping it gets worked through really quickly. Okay. But if anyone knows me personally, I have lots of copies as well. So,
okay, nice. And thank you for bringing me a copy. I look forward to reading it
today.
Good. Thank you so much for coming to the interview today. And I pray the blessing on the rest of your week. And I just encourage anybody that knows Shelley who might have questions or wondering about bipolar disorder, come and find her. You're open to chat, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wonderful.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you so much. God bless.